Why didn't the Holy Spirit of God speak to me as others claim He speaks to them? I don't know why. I know that God, in Hebrews, the first chapter, I know in the first chapter of Hebrews, in the first two verses, that in the Hebrew letter, it's made very clear that God in times past, that is in the Old and the Old Testament, He spoke to the fathers by the prophets in various ways. Your King James Version says by divers portions and divers manners, and that's Elizabethan English, but in the New King James Version, which I am using this week, it makes it clear that of course, that what Jesus did was that it said God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. In the name of Jesus, there's no other name given under heaven by which you can be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12, it makes very clear about this thing. But why didn't the Holy Spirit speak to me? Am I a bad person? Is that why He didn't speak to me? I mean, why didn't you talk? Why don't I hear you? And I'm going to tell you something. If I'm hearing voices, I might need some medication. And I'm not trying to be funny about this. I'm really not. But I'm serious, very serious. People don't understand how God operates, how He works. And that's why this particular subject becomes such almost an emotional subject, because I fear that people, there's no doubt that the scriptures bring about great emotion, tremendous emotions, but your emotional response, though, that is not truth. Truth comes to the Word of God. And that's why I don't ask anyone to follow me. I'm doing well to take care of myself, quite frankly. And the truth of it is that you need to follow Jesus and His words. This is the way of life. Many people don't understand these concepts, but again, So, does the Holy Spirit speak to you apart from the Bible? And do you believe in a direct operation of the Holy Spirit? Well, what about Romans 10:17? So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why in the world? And someone may have said this once, it's just an illustration, but I think it's pretty good. Pretty good. So you judge for yourself. Said if it says, if God went to the trouble to make man and woman and gave them free will in the garden, He gave them free will. We have free will. And if all the devil has to do is to appear and speak a lie, and man believe the lie and obey the lie and be lost, and actually we inherit the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin, that is death. Well, if the devil could do that, then why can't God simply through His Son come to this world, die for our sins, speak the word of truth, a man or woman believe the words of Jesus Christ, obey those words, and be saved from their sins? If God has to do anything more than that, then that would make the devil stronger than God. He'd just pop up and tell another lie. That's what he'll do. Don't you see that the power is in the word? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where our faith comes from. A lot of people think faith comes from different places, but it doesn't. It comes from God's Word. We have a generation or two or three generations of Christians who don't believe in God's Word. They've been beat down by the world and the devil to the point that they don't accept that God's Word is in fact the words of God. And therefore, they don't defend the words of God. We go to James 3 and understand that he says, brethren, contend earnestly for the faith is once for all delivered to the saints. Contend meaning fight for it. Fight for the truth. You know, you'll notice that something I do preach quite often is that the army of the Lord is an army in which there are no pacifists. There's no pacifists in the Lord's army. It doesn't work like that. We're to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul talked about. He told Timothy. Why is it that we come into a time where they actually, in our own songbooks, they've removed the songs of war, the songs about going to battle? They've removed them. Why? People don't like that. It might serve to you who love quote unquote church history or the Restoration Movement to know that most of those Restoration Fathers were all pacifists. Did you know that? Go back and look. And you begin to understand why it is that today, when people are following that, they become pacifistic in the army of the Lord. Am I a murderer? No, I'm not a murderer. Am I, you know, somebody says, well, do you carry a gun? I said, well, I have a license to carry a concealed gun. I'm not carrying it here. But the thing about it is, though, is that I know that I'm charged in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, that a man who does not take care of his own is worse than an unbeliever. And I know that I'm to defend my family. Now, I pray God's providential hand that I won't have to pull a gun. And quite frankly, what I was taught to use, you know, with a firearm was that you don't ever pull that out as a show of force or anything like that. It doesn't make you powerful. And no, people have misunderstood about guns. I mean, but that's another lesson for another time. But I'm saying to you, though, that the Holy Spirit does not speak to me apart from God's Word. And I want you to understand that and make people understand this who are around you. Especially those in the charismatic movement, those in the Pentecostal church, who I've studied with many in the Pentecostal church. I have been good friends with those Pentecostals, those Assembly of God. I've been friends with them. I've sat down with an open Bible and I've talked with them. Four Spirit Gospel, I've talked with all of them. I made it a point to show them that the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit does not move on anybody in this world so as to move them so that they get a message different from what we find in the New Testament. The New Testament is a complete picture. It's all that we need. Well, you'll see that as we continue on in our lesson, though. I hope that you'll see this. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, which I just read a while ago, God who makes various times, various ways, spoke in the time past the fathers, but has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. And so in John 16, verse 12 to 15, I want you to turn your Bibles there, because here, friends, now here we find the total of it. What is really going on with Jesus? What He's saying? What He's telling His apostles, which they may or may not understand. They would understand later. He would open their minds so they would understand the Scriptures. But in John 16, and speaking to His apostles, and this is the point of it, okay? And I'm not an apostle of the Lord. I'm just a Christian. That's all I am. No higher, no better. In the 16th chapter, notice, if you will, in the starting of the 12th verse, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, the 13th verse, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, and that's the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. And the first of this 13th verse is very important to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is explained very clearly by the Lord Jesus as He was talking to the apostles, whom He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were empowered from on high. In Acts, and of course, in Acts, the first chapter. And in the second chapter, they were. But whatever He hears, He will speak. He will not speak on His own authority. I've had people underline that in their Bible. I want you to underline that in your Bible. He will not speak on His own authority. He will guide you into all truth. Who? The apostles. He will not guide me into all truth because I have the Scriptures. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing with the Word of God. Go back and repeat that again. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all of the truth. In the first century, they had, if you will, prophets, they had apostles, they even had tongues. That's right, they had tongues. But the tongues that they had were languages that people understood. And I don't have to go too far in First Corinthians 12 or the 14th chapter to show you very clearly that there was a purpose for the tongues, but that was not the... We'll read that in First Corinthians 13 in just a little bit. But I want you to notice that He said He will guide you in all truth. Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. That is, the apostles, not Dennis, not Galen. He'll guide the apostles into all the truth. So He says, well, aren't you belaboring the point? Well, what about the sincere in heart? Now, I'm very careful about this. I try to be. There are many people who believe they've seen things. They believe they've heard things. I don't doubt that they've seen something or have heard something, but I doubt their interpretation of what they think they heard or saw. Because the Bible is very plain that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. In Romans 10, verses 1 through 3, if you turn there with me. And I want you to show you something about this, because this is the problem. Even in the New Testament age, there were those who had zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So these people who believe that they have a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, they just don't know the Bible. And when I sat down and talked with them, they would say to me, well, you are limiting the Holy Spirit to the Bible. And I said, well, wait a minute. John 16:13 said, he will not speak on his own authority, but what I speak, he will speak. He will not speak on his own authority. And I say to them, don't you understand? But Paul said, for I bear the witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is revealed through His Son Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, to His apostles, who were guided into all truth, which we have now. But see, the devil wants to undermine, the authority of the Scriptures. He will plant the seeds of doubt, if you let him, in your mind, that we can't know the Bible. I've had many people say, well, nobody agrees on what the Bible says anyway, so what difference does it make? That's not the point where you and I agree on what it says. It's what it says. This is important to understand and to remember, that absolute truth is absolute. That's why it's absolute truth. It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's the truth of the Bible, of the New Testament. And somebody says, well, who died and made you king? Nobody. But I have a king who died for me. And that king spoke through his apostles. And his apostles were guaranteed, they were promised the Holy Spirit, and it came upon them. And that, friend, is the end of this discussion in reality. But not really. Because many people, they want something special from God. They want to feel special. I know that in Ephesians 3, we're going to read that now. In Ephesians 3rd chapter, if you will, with me. And then I have a little illustration, which will be a little strange to you, I'm sure, but if you know me, you know I have strange illustrations. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse, if you will, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, He accomplished it in Jesus Christ our Lord. He didn't not get it done. It was done. It was done. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore I ask you, do not lose heart in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Which is your glory. We'll look further. When I was growing up, and we're not going to go all the way back to where I was growing up, but when I was growing up, and I was a young man about 6 years old, maybe seven, very impressionable, very dumb. And there were two girls down the street, and they were about my age, and they were our playmates. We played together, we played games and things like that. And one day I went to the door, and I knocked on the door, and they didn't answer. I thought maybe they're gone. I was really kind of sad because I wanted to play some games. You know, and I knocked again, and finally one of them came to the door, and she opened the door and she went, shh. I said, what? He said, we're having a seance. You're having a what? We're having a seance. Do you know what a Ouija board is? I said, no, don't have a clue. Well, come in, let's just show you something really interesting. So I'm being the sucker, I am just sucked right in. And sat down at the table to the Ouija board. And if you've not seen a Ouija board, well, God bless you. That's good. Because there's a little stylus. A planchette is a French word for it, but it's a stylus is what it is. It has three corners, has a crystal in the center of it. That should tell you everything, that something's wrong with it. But anyway, so it's not a crystal. And so they had their hands on one and then another, and then I was the third. And I put mine on there, and they said, did you know that this will tell you your name? This will tell you things in the future. I said, nah, I don't believe that. Just watch. Just They said, do you feel it? I could feel it kind of tugging. I said, you're doing that. You're doing that. No, we're not doing it. Oh, I was such a sucker. And boy, I tell you, they began to move it and began to tell me. And listen, if you know what the word enamored means, that's what I was. I was enamored with that. That was so exciting because I felt powerful. I had power. We could know the future. We could know. It was really exciting. In fact, I was so involved that I didn't even go home for dinner, which is really weird because I always showed up at the dinner table. And Mama called. She was afraid something happened to me. But okay, so this went on for about a week. They kept me going for about a week. And finally, and this is the part that's important. And finally, I knocked on the door and I said, let's have a seance. Now, I was saying it. And they said, no, we're tired of playing that. I said, what? You're tired of playing it? Yeah, don't you know? You were duped. We just fooled you. We were doing that. But you know what? I would not believe them. And you know why I wouldn't believe them? Because they were going to take away my power. You listen to me. Those in the Pentecostal church who are wound up and believe that God has set them, listen, you're there to threaten to take their power away because you insist on the Bible and what the Holy Spirit said through the Bible. That's the illustration. Do you get that? Can you know how disappointed I was that I really didn't have power that I thought I did? It's funny how men and women think they have power. They think they're in control. It's very sad. One day they learn just how out of control the whole thing is, really. You have very little. You have control of yourself, but not really these other things. God does not speak to us that way. God speaks to us through His Son, Jesus. Now, let's just get it straight. I've shown you the verses. I've shown you that through the Prince of God in the heavenly place, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what? In 1 Corinthians 2:13, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, compares spiritual things with spiritual words. It's 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, where He talks about the spirit of a man and the spirit of God. It's where he talks about it in a whole, it's a whole conversation in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Let me read you something interesting in 1 Corinthians 2. And I want to read this because I feel that I would neglect to point something out to you that I believe is very, very important to some of my brethren who don't seem to understand that the preacher is not all-knowing. The preacher is not given some special gift. He is not. And stop following them. Follow Jesus. Follow Him through His Word. Listen to what I'm saying to you. 1 Corinthians 2. The Apostle Paul, in the first five verses, he set it forth very clearly to these brethren at Corinth. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I don't have to do a power because the Word's already established. If your faith is in the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You just drive down the peg and hang on there, because that is the point. Faith does not come by little men who've decided to wrap a swan around their head and sit in the back of a cave for 50 years so they can find out what the real true meaning of life is. Okay? Well, I need to go. No. You need to go to the Bible. He listens to Jesus. No, you know, I'm the truth, the life, and the way. And no one comes to the Father but by me. John 14. He makes it clear. Really clear. He makes it clear. And brother, this is the thing that is very, can be very disturbing. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 13. And I think that you'll see. You will see what the Bible teaches and why this is not hard to understand. And I'm not limiting the Holy Spirit to the Word of God. Jesus limited the Holy Spirit to the Word of God. That's what He did. Now, how hard is it to understand this? Except I want to have power and I want to be powerful. And I want people to follow me. I don't need followers. I'm doing well, take care of myself. I keep saying that. But it's the truth. I don't need followers. But you know in 1 Corinthians 13, let's turn there. If you're not there already, look here with me and look at the 8th to 10th verses. And here's what it says. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Done away with. Now listen, I know that I've had discussions both with the Mormon, those in the Mormon church, those in the Jehovah's Witnesses. I've talked with all of those different groups. I've talked with them, and I've talked with many groups, and also Pentecostals, and Seventh of God, and Four Square Gospel, and Jesus, go down a long list of these people who believe that God speaks to them. That God spoke to Joseph Smith. And God, you know, through an angel, even though Galatians 1 and verse 6 through 12, he says that even an angel from heaven should preach to you anything other than what we first preached. Let it be anathema. Don't believe it. It was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3 says. Is it so hard to understand that, and this is the thing that really gets my goat, and I don't have a goat, thankfully. I don't like goats. But if you're raising a goat, God bless you. But I'll tell you what, they're a bad animal. And I live out in the country. You don't know that yet, but I do live in the country. And goats are well, they're trouble. Well, you notice the Lord said, those on the left are the goats. And so there it is. You know, I made more argument about that. But last time I said that, somebody in the audience that met me at the door said, well, I have some goats and they're very lovely. I said, I'm glad. That's a great thing. You know. But the Lord said that the ones on the left are the goats. So there it is. What can I say? I'm not trying to, you know, pervert anything here. You know. But anyway. But they, you know, but the thing is that they don't understand that according to 1 Corinthians 13, that we have everything that we need in the Bible. Everything we need to understand is in the Bible. Every answer for everything. Why would Peter write in 2 Peter, look at this. Why in the world would Peter write this? In 2 Peter, and in the first chapter, he said in the second verse, 2 Peter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things, there's the word all again. Now, I'll read a note in your Bible when you see the word all. Because what about all don't you understand? That's everything. There leaves room for nothing else. All. To us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him who calls by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. But I watch Jerry Springer, and I think maybe Jerry Springer's got a point. He's got a point. Well, what about James Dodson? He's got a point. Brethren, you're seeking out the wrong things. Go to your Bible. It's written. It's written. Well, nobody agrees in the Bible. You're right, they don't. But God's not worried about that because through his son's sacrifice, he made it possible so they could all understand the same thing alike. Why is there such a problem with this? So, interesting thing about this is that which is in part will be done away with. God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, and he's not. And in Romans 2, verse 11, he said, for there is no partiality with God. There just isn't. So if you're telling me that God's speaking to you, what would he tell you that he wouldn't tell me? Or what would he tell me that he wouldn't tell you? And why is this such a problem? Now listen, if you love someone who's in the Pentecostal church or their assembly of God, you take them aside with the scriptures and you take this. You will have my charts. You will have these verses. You take them through these verses and you say, why is it that you think that God's going to tell you something he won't tell me? And they may say, well, if you were saved, the Holy Spirit would move upon you and you would know it. Excuse me? Excuse me? That's not what the Bible teaches. Holy Spirit moved upon the apostles and guided them in all truth so I could know from what they wrote. So I could understand. But Dennis, you're just being disrespectful to someone who's very sincere. I mean no disrespect whatsoever. I don't. Because I believe you're sincerely deceived. I think you're sincerely deceived as I was deceived by the Ouija board. I think that you feel like you've got power that, I'm sorry, honey, you don't have that power. You think you do, but you don't. And if you want to talk to me later about this, that's all right. I want you to understand this, that the Word of God is very plain and very, quite frankly, simple to understand if you're willing to follow what He said and to do what He says. God is no respecter of persons. Why would God tell me something He wouldn't tell you? Why would God tell you something He wouldn't tell me? Many think they are special above others, but Romans 10, 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, so that's the lesson. It's not hard to understand, I don't think. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Because I know that when I was a little boy, I thought that I was special. Don't all little boys think they're special? My mama thought I was special.
But the thing about it was, though, is that I just like all those little boys. Trouble. In fact, I was a little bit worse. I talked back. I was really a mess. Had to deal with my poor mother. She really went through a lot. But anyway, but the point of it is, though, is that through God's Word, we can understand what God wants. We can understand what to do to be saved. You know, it is that many people believe they're Christians in this world, and they're not Christians. They think they are, but they've not obeyed the Lord Jesus and what He said to do. Somebody says, oh, yeah, that's that Church of Christ doctrine. We know that one. It's where you think you're the only one's going to be saved. And you think you're the ones. And I know Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He believeth not shall be condemned. But it didn't say, he that believeth not is not baptized will not be saved. I said, well, why in the world would anyone want to be baptized who didn't believe? I'm not a water salvationist. I don't. Now, Galen, I don't know. Keep the ropes in the back. We tie them up and we throw them in the water. And we get them back up. We dunk them, but they dunk them. But one of the problems with that is in a lot of churches, no, you don't do that. But in a lot of churches, you've got people who, they dip them and they drop them. That's what they do. They dip and drop. They don't study with them. They don't ground them in the truth of the gospel. It didn't take much to know what to do to be saved, my friend. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you are convicted by His words, and know that you need to change your life, then repentance is in order for you. But repentance is more than just a couple of things you did wrong. It has to do with your way of life, your attitude. It has to do that you no longer live for the world, but you live for Jesus. That's what it means. And having left the world, that's what you're going to do, because when you confess it with your mouth as the Son of God, you're buried in water baptism for remission of all your sins, and then you're raised to walk in newness of life, in a new way, a new creature in His sight, something good, something wonderful. Why is that so hard to understand? Except you don't want to do what Jesus said to do. Shall I preach to you about Naaman? Shall I tell you in 2 Kings 5? Shall I tell you that he was so upset because the prophet sent out word to him and said, he said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed of your leprosy. And he was just furious. He just blew up. He said, well, I thought, and that's one of the problems. I thought that the prophet would come out, wave his hands over the place. I don't know why he said that, but he did. He said, and call on the Lord his God and cleanse the leper. Wow, there's cleaner rivers back in Damascus. I don't know, what is this about this old dirty Jordan? You know, and so he turned around to die, a leper. But one of his servants entreated him and said, Father, he said, Master, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? But how much more is it just to dip and be cleansed? And I asked you this morning, how much more is it just to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, to be raised to walk in newness of life and be a New Testament Christian? And listen, we don't add anybody to the church. Jesus adds you to His church. This is what Acts 2 and verse 47 says, and the Lord added to them daily those who are being saved. We don't vote people in. We don't vote people out. People are baptized into Christ, and Christ adds them to His church. And that's what you need to do to be saved. And as Christian, it may well be that you have gone astray, that you have sinned. And Christians do sin. They're not perfect. No, no, man, they're not. But they're working and striving to walk in the light as He's the light, 1 John 1, verse 7. And so it is as we stumble that we need our brethren to pray for us. We need prayer. I don't know how many times that I've told people, coming to the front, if you don't have to necessarily come to the front, actually, if you have, you give me a call, we'll come, we'll pray with you. We're going to pray because you need to come back to God and you need to do what is right, what pleases the Lord. Because people who don't do that, they're just letting the devil rule over them, whether they realize it or not. In fact, they may be right there at the edge of the Ouija board thinking they have power when they don't have any power at all. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I hope you'll obey the gospel. Won't you come when we stand and when we sing?